Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. Well, sorry to say, but there's more not-so-good news on the climate change front. A new report out from the International Energy Agency finds that after a brief dip during the recession of 2008, worldwide carbon emissions are climbing sharply again to a record high level just last year. That report comes on the heels of an announcement last month that a testing station in Hawaii had recorded CO2 levels at 400 parts per million, a major benchmark and the first time it had ever seen levels that high. Stephen Mufson is the energy correspondent for The Washington Post, and he joins us. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Magda.
So first of all, let's start off with the big picture here. You quote the IEA chief economist, Fatih Birol, as saying that this report gives us a window into an outcome for the globe that could be a disaster for all countries. Now, why is Fatih Birol saying that?
Well, he's saying that because the global emissions of carbon dioxide, one of the principal gases contributing to climate change, is on a track to take us to really disastrous climate change. International climatologists have suggested we try to keep global climate change to an increase of just 2 degrees Celsius. And Fatih's saying that that won't be possible unless we make some changes soon in the way we generate energy. And energy does account for about two-thirds of the world's annual greenhouse gas emissions.
Hmm. And as you're reporting, this report finds that global CO2 emissions rose almost 1.5% in 2012. So let's drill down to what particular emissions were in a couple major countries. First of all, how did the United States fare in 2012?
Well, the United States fared relatively well. Our CO2 emissions in 2012 dropped 3.8%. This is the fourth of 5 years in which U.S. CO2 emissions have declined. And we're back down to levels we haven't seen since the 1990s. That still is modest compared to the scope of climate change, but it's pretty impressive performance for a large economy like this.
What's been driving this year-to-year decrease in emissions? Are there particular environmental or economic factors, or is it also the effect of shifting policy on carbon emissions?
Well, there's some good news on that front. One piece of good news is that the automobile fleet is becoming more and more efficient in line with the government's tightening CAFE standards. And that's one contributor. Another contributor is the substitution of natural gas for coal at a lot of power plants. But some of these things won't keep happening. We won't keep substituting natural gas for coal at this rate. And another thing that's been helping lower our emissions has been the mild winter last year, and relatively weak economic performance if you're looking at our trend lines over the past 5 years.
Right. So let's flip to another side of this story, and that has to do with China. How did they fare?
China's emissions rose 3.8%. In some ways, it was good news because that rate is much lower than China's economic growth rate, but it still remains the largest contributor of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere with about a quarter of global emissions.
So help us take a step back here. I'm wondering what one of the takeaways is from the IEA's report. Do the economists and analysts at the IEA feel that policy isn't keeping up with the global need to control carbon emissions?
They think that we aren't keeping up. And I think it's important to keep in mind just how enormous the scope of this problem is. The IEA points out that by 2017 or at the latest 2020, we'll have all the energy producing plants in place that we could possibly have in order to keep the climate change to that 2 degrees centigrade target. Think about it this way. The population of the world is growing maybe 1% a year. So by 2050, the target date for a lot of these goals, the world may have a third more people. So just to keep emissions steady is going to be a huge task. To actually lower them by 30, 40, 50% the way a lot of climate scientists say is necessary is just a monumental task. And frankly, I'm not sure how we get there.
You've reported that the IEA does have some suggestions on how we can at least level off the growth in carbon emissions. What have they suggested?
Yeah, well, they've taken a crack at this, and they're suggesting these measures because they think that they're doable and they won't hurt the global economy too much. So they include energy efficiency measures, and there are a lot of energy efficiency measures that pay for themselves in a very short period of time. They're saying that oil and gas companies need to do more to capture methane at the point of production. That's an important point because methane is a much more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide, and a fair amount of it slips out at the wellhead of oil and gas operations.
I guess my last question for you is, you've been following, you're the energy correspondent at The Post, and you've been following this for a long period of time. I see this list of suggestions from the IEA, and they're laudable, but none of them really feel groundbreaking to me. So it doesn't seem as if we've made a terrible amount of progress in terms of getting that low-hanging fruit when it comes to controlling carbon emissions.
Yeah, well, that's part of the thing about energy efficiency and things like CAFE standards. They're not too sexy. I've got to say, trying to write about them as a reporter can be incredibly boring. To write about things like caulking windows or changing the way you build a building, I mean, these are not dynamic stories, but they're actually important. So I think that they should be taken seriously. And I think that there will be a push in this term of President Obama's to do more in this area. People often say that he doesn't have any sort of energy policy, but in some ways, the agreement to raise fuel efficiency standards for automobiles, which was done in the first couple of months of his administration, is one of the most important pieces of energy policy you could possibly undertake. So people who are concerned about the specter of climate change, they believe that now is the time for the president to step forward and do something comparable.
Well, Stephen Mufsin is the energy correspondent for The Washington Post. Steve, thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Tomorrow on Here and Now, have you ever ignored your doctor's advice? And what would it take to change your mind? How about a brush with death? We'll hear from a Michigan man about why he now listens to everything his doctor says. And still ahead today, for Father's Day, the story of a son and what he discovered about the truth in his father's experiences in World War II. The news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The ICA with Barry McGee. Vibrant paintings and installations capture the energy of the street in this 20-year retrospective on view now. ICABoston.org. And Harvard University, whose Harvard Summer School offers courses for high school, college, and adult students to earn academic credit and experience Harvard campus life. Summer.harvard.edu.